Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church. We are now on Facebook, and Julie has also got us on YouTube, and then the regular internet study will be on after we're through. We've gathered together to worship together in difficult time, not only in American history, but in the world. That's why we're here. Study and worship God. That's how you keep your mind stayed on Him. You don't keep your mind stayed on coronavirus. You keep your mind stayed on Him. One way we do that is to study His Word. Keep your mind stayed on His Word. Don't be like Peter. Peter was walking on water, something he could not do physically. But he kept his eyes on the Lord. He got out of the boat and walked on water. But the moment he took his eyes off and his mind off of the Lord, and he looked at the waves, and he looked what he was doing, I'm not supposed to be able to do this, and he started sinking. Keep your mind stayed on Him. And He, God, the Holy Spirit, will cause you to have peace in your soul. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to give you the opportunity to test yourself, to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. I'm not the true teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So let's test ourselves. We're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Now, Julie's done a wonderful job on Facebook, YouTube, internet, everything. So, the word is getting out. Let's worship together. The only thing I regret is we don't have singing. We can't, I think if we had all of you pick up a songbook at home, I doubt many of you would do that, but I do miss that part of it, especially since Jeff Harrison's been playing the trumpet for us and people have been singing. I'm going to see if I can get Jeff maybe next Sunday to begin with his trumpet, maybe some kind of a hymn or something to introduce our coming on the line. So we'll see if we can do that. Now, Wednesday night, we will have study. Continue our study in Ezekiel from my office. But next Sunday we'll be back here at the church. By the way, Jerry, we have donuts. Chris Day was thoughtful enough to bring us donuts. So we have donuts this morning. We're doing good with the donuts. People have asked me, how is it to speak to, you know, basically an empty auditorium? Well, I have four people here. I have Julie and Brian Cooper and her mother and Jeff Harrison. But I also have 45 faces looking at me of young people. There's Mackenzie Wise, Tate Langston. There is Tyrus Gerson. There's Ben Daig, Kendall Dehan. So I have a lot of faces I'm looking at. Thing is, they're all smiling. So I love that. And I'm going to accept that as though they were approving of what I'm teaching and pleased with it. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Let's begin worship together and just make this a wonderful Sunday in a difficult time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for modern technology, that even though we're confined to our quarters, we have a way, Heavenly Father, of worshiping together. We have a way of getting the Word out together. And we thank You for that, Father. And we pray now that all that we do will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Now, another difficulty is I don't get the prayer request. And I ask you through Leslie's emails, if you have any, let me know. Jeff Harrison has come forward. His nephew, Jeremy Morris, is a first responder in Galveston with the fire department, and therefore in harm's way. So please be in prayer for Jeremy. Continue being in prayer for Nick Daig. Chris said this morning he's doing much, much better. So let's continue being in prayer. God will continue to strengthen that young man. Continue to pray for one another. Don't forget us. We're all an assembly. Yes?
My nephew, Jeremy, being a first responder, has contracted COVID-19.
He has it. Oh, he has Okay. Well, he definitely needs... Jeremy Morris needs our prayers. He's Jeff Harrison's nephew, Galveston area, has contacted coronavirus and needs your prayers, please. I don't know of anyone else personally. If you do, please let me know. Please be in prayer for each other, people. We're not here to see each other. Take out the membership list and go through some of the names and just be in prayer for them. Be in prayer. Ben Daig, they closed down Texas A&M. So Ben's at home. He's as the way he words it, I'm a college student stuck with my parents. So just be in prayer for his parents as well as Ben Daig. Be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for the likes of Lila and Eve and Nell and me, Judith and Betsy and Josie. Be in prayer for each of us, people. We all need your prayers. I could go through the whole membership list. We need to be in prayer. One other issue, and that's offering. I know we're all stressed for money right now. I understand that. If you could spare a few shekels, we could need it to pay the rent and to keep us on the internet and to keep these things going. So if you could please send some offerings. Spring Valley Bible Church. Oh, I didn't bring the address this time up to my pulpit. You can do contributions on our Spring Valley Bible Church. You can do it that way. Or you can send it to Spring Valley Bible Church. And let me see if there's a note over here. What is this right here? I'm back. I got the address here. It's Spring Valley Bible Church, Post Office Box 833-007. 833-007, Richardson, Texas, 75083. 75083. You could send a few shekels. We could keep things going as much as we can here. Please be in prayer for the young people. Please be in prayer that this thing will break so that we can have our youth camp this summer. Please be in prayer that all these things can be taken care of. Please be in prayer for our president. People, he's done an astounding job. This has never happened before in the world. What's happening right now has never happened before as far as America's concerned. And he's trod new ground. So please be in prayer for wisdom, courage, strength, protection. Because the opposition is down on him 24 hours a day. So please be in prayer for him. Be in prayer for one another. And let's go into prayer before we start into our study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for Spring Valley Bible Church, an humble assembly, but one, Father, that you've seen fit to use worldwide. We pray, Father, you receive the offerings that we give. Use these offerings to continue the spreading of the teaching of the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that all that we do now, the study of your Word, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, I want to read something to you. The 21st century is just 20 years into it. It has been an unbelievable 20 years. I could go back to the 20th century, But I just want to talk to you about a little bit about the 21st century. It started off with George Bush being elected president in 2000. 2001 was the year for the second digital revolution. Apple computer debuts the iPod. 2003, the Gulf War. 2003, the Human Genome Project completed. That's where the testing of DNA will give the genetics and study of that area. 2004, Google redefines the Internet. 2005, Hurricane Katrina exposes America's failing infrastructure. 2006, virtual social networking, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. 2007, illegal immigrants hit 11 million. 2007, Al Gore wins the Nobel Peace Prize for work on climate change, and we're still suffering from that. 2008, Barack Obama wins presidency and takes America to an all-time low militarily and morally. 2009, America responds to a deep recession. 2012, Washington and Colorado legalize marijuana. 2014, the rise of ISIS presents new foreign policy changes. 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court allows same-sex marriage, advancing our immorality. In 2017, Donald Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States. And people, we're not even through with 2020 yet. And here we are with coronavirus attacking the whole world. What are you going to do in this time? What's going to be your attitude at home? Those of you that can go to work? Whatever it is. Are you going to glorify Christ? Or are you going to moan about what you don't have? This morning, we're going to continue a challenge. Next Sunday, I hope to get back into Ephesians chapter 5, or chapter 1, verse 5. But this morning, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 for a challenge for us during this time. Now, first of all, let's read Psalm 117. It's the shortest psalm. It's the shortest chapter of the Bible. The longest is one Psalm 119. Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm. So let's read the shortest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His loving kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. His love is great toward us. Someone may complain. You call what's going on in the world now love? Yes, I do. It's a time, people, when we can respond to the Lord, when we can respond to His grace. We can respond to what He's done. I'm not going to take the time to read the total of something I read in the early service, but someone wrote, I don't know who is the author, in 3 short months, just like He did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you worship athletes, I shut down the stadiums. You worship musicians, I shut down the civic centers. You worship actors, I shut down the theaters. You worship money, I have a stock exchange and shut down the economy. You don't want to go to church? I'll make it where you can't go to church. People, that's where we are. Wake up. Wake up, body of Christ. Wake up, bride of Christ. Wake up, those of you who are Christians. Wake up to what's really important. It's not athletes or musicians or theaters, money, success, economics. It's Jesus Christ. Wake up. This is a wake-up call. It came as a wake-up call in June of 1983. We didn't listen. HIV was a worldwide epidemic. We didn't listen. We conquered it and therefore became arrogant and became more immoral, up to the point where we have same-sex marriage now. We've accentuated, we've multiplied our immorality instead of listening. We better listen. God is speaking. I have a sign in my garage that says, "Don't make me come down there." That's God. If He comes down, people, it could be a horrible wrath. If my people, who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves and pray, humble and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. People, we're in trouble in the world, and we better wake up to what God is doing. This is a call. A lot of times we like to talk about, oh, these are signs of the end time. No, they're a sign for us to wake up. No signs for the end time. Signs for us to wake up. It's a wake-up call. Are you going to wake up? Take Him more seriously? Take His Word more seriously? Take your being a representative of Christ more seriously? Wake up. This is just an ideal of what God can do. If we don't wake up, He can do worse. Now, we've read Psalm 117. Now, what I want to do is look at chapter 118. Chapter 118 is the middle of the Bible. Do you know that? It's the middle of the Bible. There are 594 chapters before it, and there are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. See? As a psalm of praise. It has been suggested by some that this psalm records the farewell hymn of Jesus Christ after He left the Passover all the way to Gethsemane. And we'll see how that might flow with some of the things in this great psalm. As an unusual structure, and just outlining and putting this psalm together, it doesn't fit the way the New American Standard outlined it for you. Let me give you a working outline for this beautiful Psalm 118. Thanksgiving to God for His love. Verses 1 through 7. Trust in God's provision and plan. Verses 8 through 12. Thanksgiving to God for His deliverance. Verses 13 through 19. Thanksgiving for the rejected and exalted stone. Verses 20 through 26. The final and eternal praise of thanksgiving, 27 through 29. What I want to do this morning is something we don't normally do. Just read through the entire psalm. This is a beautiful psalm. And when we finish this morning, I hope you will take your Bibles the rest of the day or tonight or tomorrow and just read it again and again and think about it. Read it slowly. But we're going to read through this beautiful, encouraging psalm. Now, I want to tell you something else as we read it. I want you to note carefully verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9 is the center of the Bible. So let's begin by just looking at Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, and then we will read the whole thing. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Very powerful, very important for today's world. Now let's just read and let the Word of God flow inside your soul. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His love is everlasting. Let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Let those who fear the Lord, that's us, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. For my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. I hope none of you are in fear or worry this season. What can man do to me? What can coronavirus do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. All nations, Gentiles, surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my deliverance. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die, but live. Even if we die of coronavirus, we live forever with the Lord. And tell the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You have become my deliverance. The stone, this is important, the stone which was the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. That's an incorrect translation. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God. I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let's go back and just read through it, pick up some things on this beautiful, encouraging psalm. Now, exegeting it, interpreting it as a messianic psalm, confuses many people. For while there is current application for all of us, it's to Israel, it's to the Messiah, and it is to us. Let's look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks, people. This should be our attitude. Give thanks in everything. This should be our attitude and function of every believer every day. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Every one of my morning prayers, when I get up and start praying, I start with thanksgiving. Thank you for protecting me through the night, my wife and I. Thank you for your grace, mercy. Thank you for your plan for this day. Give thanks to the Lord. Not just when things are going well, but when they are not going well. Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? It's a Hifil imperative. I don't have time to really break down the entire psalm. But here, this is a hifil imperative. The hifil is causative. We should be caused to give thanks to the Lord every day. Give thanks to acknowledge all that God has done and is doing in your life. Mental attitude of thoughtfulness. Give thanks to the Lord. This is the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, Jehovah, sacred name of God. And it can refer to any of the three members of the Godhead. God the Father. And why not? They're all God. God the Son. They're all God. God the Holy Spirit. So to which does it refer to here? The major point here is what is good refers to that we should give thanks. His creation is good. His restoration in the Holy Spirit is good. His salvation is good. His sending of His Son is good. His sending of His Spirit is good. Giving thanks for the Word of God, for the Bible. Good for Him. Good for us. Next reason for giving thanks, one that I personally love, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The Hebrew word here is so rich. I have three books written just with this title of the Hebrew word for loving kindness, kesed. Give thanks for His divine attributes, namely His love. His love never fails. In the first class this morning, and I do hope you'll take your time today or tomorrow and watch the class we just finished, well, spiritual love. Loving as Christ loved. Loving as Jesus Christ loved. That's awesome. Who loved as God loves. You and I, unimportant in the world, can love as Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Holy Spirit in spiritual love. That's what we studied this morning and we're continuing to study in the first class on Sunday morning. Next, verse 2. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. This is particularly important to Israel, who will go through many stages of spiritual bankruptcy to blessings. His love is always there. Verse 3, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Aaron, the priesthood, it is so important that the priesthood proclaim the love of God. And in the church age, it is important that every pastor proclaims the love of Jesus Christ. That is possible in the believer only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, oh, let those who fear the Lord say His loving kindness is everlasting. This includes us, church age. See, we fear Him, we have awe of Him. Now verse 5. If we hear verse 5 in the words of the Messiah, it really comes alive. From my distress, I call upon the Lord. Distress, grief, the cross of Christ, coronavirus, for us. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Hebrew word here refers to a large open space, an open free area. Therefore, the NIV translates this, He answered by setting me free. How beautiful is that? Free from oppression, free from enemies, free from sin, free from the fear of coronavirus. Verse 6, the Lord, God the Father, is for me. People, let me just tell you something. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God is for you. Make no doubt about it. Your dog may be against you, but God is for you. Mankind may be against you, but God is for you. You can never commit a sin, once you're a believer, that would take you away from the loving kindness of God. He is always there to help, to restore, to bless. Please remember that. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. Today the Lord is for you. Do not fear what's going on. Be cautious. Use wisdom, but do not fear. What can man do to me? This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Let me read that to you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? All through the church age, man has hurt and tormented each other, especially those close to you. One reason for the new commandment to love one another. People, that's what we need in interaction. A lot of people are learning about their marriage right now. What are you learning about yours? Learning about their family, their life. What are you learning? See? Your relationship with the Lord. What are you learning in this time of trouble? I hope whatever you're learning drives you to His Word, to worship Him more and more. Although the church age, man has hurt one another. But the new commandment is what protects you. It's your immune system. It's your guide. Verse 7. The Lord, contextually, God the Father, is for me, among those who help me. I like the NIV here. The Lord, God the Father, is with me, Jesus Christ. He, God the Father, by sending His Spirit, is my helper. Same concept we have with the Holy Spirit as our helper, as our the one who sustains us, comes to our aid, while in fact He does it all. He's not just helping. I don't like the word help. Help means if I'm on a car and I say, help me push it, and I stand over on the side of the road, you're going to say, wait a minute. You said help you. What are you doing standing over there? When we help, we do our part. But in the spiritual realm, it's the Holy Spirit. He pours in this love. We study in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is this. Love, it goes on. Love is a subject, not you. You're not long-suffering. You're not kind. You're not arrogant. It's spiritual love. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us that causes us to be these things. How wonderful is the plan of God? It doesn't depend on us. It depends on His Spirit. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. All through the Gospel of John 15 through 16, Jesus Christ talks about how the world hates Him. Now, verses 8 and 9, again, middle of the Bible. Verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in man. How beautiful is that for the middle of the Bible? See? The King James, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Most befitting verse for the middle of the Bible. For faith is the center of our salvation, and people, it's the center of our spiritual life. You're born by faith through grace, by grace through faith. You're filled with the Spirit by grace out of sin, from grace through faith. You live your life by grace through faith. God's plan never changes. How beautiful is this for the sinner of the Bible? It's not repentance. It's not confession. It's faith that saves us, restores us, blesses us through life. It's God doing it, not us doing it, but God. Now, let's take a moment and look at the word better. Better is what it says. Better to take refuge in the Lord than in man. Let's take a moment and look at the word better. This is a rich Hebrew word, tov, T-O-B-H sound, has many meanings, and we have several of its nuances in this one verse. First of all, take it from the standpoint of God. People, this is the only response by man that is acceptable to God, well-pleasing to God. What is proper before God? Our faith. So it is better than anything else we can do. It's just to trust Him. And then, secondly, from the standpoint of man, this is the only response that is profitable for us, beneficial to you. The only way you and I are going to be eternally saved is by faith. The only way you and I are going to be filled with the Spirit is by faith. The only way you and I are going to produce spiritual love is by faith. The only way you and I are going to live the Christian life is by faith. So it's better for us. It doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on us. Eh? One thing you learn is it depends on you. Somebody's always better and is always a standard. Always a standard. They put out, who's the best quarterback in the NFL history? Who's the best pitcher in the NBA, in the baseball league history? Who's the best this? Who's the best that? Performance system. People don't live the Christian life on performance system. We live it on a faith system which is non-meritorious. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on the object of your faith. We trust Jesus Christ for salvation and we're saved. We trust the Holy Spirit for restoration and we're restored. See? We live by faith. See? It is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord. Then it says, take refuge. This is a simple call infinitive for what we should characterize our lives. The Hebrew word is kasa, to take refuge, to flee protection. See? It's figurative for put your trust in God. David wielded a sword. His confidence in beside that sword. David rode a great horse. His confidence was not in his horse. Not in his sword, not in his horse, but in the Lord. Now, we do wise things. We isolate ourselves. Wear gloves. We go out, a mask if you have it. We do these things. But people, that's not your confidence. Not your confidence. When I have to go to the store and put on the gloves, I'll do it. But my confidence is not that that glove is going to protect me from coronavirus. My faith is in God, that God will protect me. If there's coronavirus on the buggy, on the product, whatever it is that I can't see, it's an invisible enemy, I trust God. I trust Him. Protect me. So, where's your trust in what you're doing? See? I learned this in school. I learned it a long time ago. Studied so hard and then didn't do well. But I studied so hard. I did all my good work to write this paper. You gave me a C on it. See? That's the performance system. All it takes with God is a grain of mustard seed of faith. I trust you today. That's all that He's looking for. See? So, it is the winning position to take refuge in the Lord. To take refuge. Psalm 62:7. Let me just read it to you. O God of my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. People, please trust Him. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the government. Don't trust the wisdom of doctors even. Trust the Lord. Use their wisdom, learn, be wise, but have your faith and your confidence in the Lord. Now, Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We have the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, or Jehovah, can be used here for any member of the Godhead, than to put confidence in man. The preposition translated than is rich here. The preposition is used to indicate in front of. In front of. It's the winning position. Better than out from the option of putting confidence in man. Putting confidence in government. Putting confidence in anything other than God. Out front. Better is putting confidence in the Lord. Out from the option of putting confidence in man. Hebrew, batak, to trust. The confidence is batak, trust, confidence. It is in opposition, and not opposition, but apposition to refuge, showing that refuge refers to faith. The refuge talked about here, better take refuge. How do you do that? By faith. How do you take refuge in the Lord? By faith. Confidence. See? Faith in Adam, man. See? That refers to faith in self, faith in others, faith in the government, or faith in the Lord. Most people have faith in what they do. Their list. I do all these things. See? I take my vitamins. I do this. I do that. I get to sleep. All this type of thing. That's where my confidence is. I feel sorry for you. How much better it is to go to bed at night, not looking at a list to see if you've done it, trusting in the Lord. It is better, winning position, to take refuge in the Lord. We take refuge by faith, rather than to trust man. Verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. The exact construction of verse 8, except for the last word, princes. The Hebrew here refers to those of noble birth, of charismatic personality. It's amazing how many people trust in people. Muhammad over Jesus Christ. Allah over God and over Jesus Christ. Mary Baker and Eddy over Jesus Christ. Christian Science over Christianity. Joseph Smith over Jesus Christ. Mormonism over Jesus Christ. Charles Russell over Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witness over Christianity. And multitude of others. Or even the government. Is your faith in the government? People I love, our president. I pray for him every day. Several times through the day, as a matter of fact. When he's giving him some kind of a talk on the TV, I'm in prayer for him. I hope you saw yesterday, sending off with a great ship, the USS Comfort. If you didn't, you missed a good one. It was beautiful. The praise of the Navy. I thought of Chris and Laura Dave when I was watching it. Praise of the Navy and watching that big ship take off. And that ship has brought peace and relief and help all over the world. And now it's serving America. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. But people, that's not our hope. That's not our confidence. Our confidence and hope is in the Lord. See? Is your faith in your confidence in your government? See? In this epidemic coronavirus? Is your confidence in the government or in the Lord? Verse 10. All nations surround me. If we look at this as Jesus Christ, at the end, as he was being crucified, in the name of the Lord, God the Father, I will surely cut them off, be victorious. Verse 11, they surround me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off, be victorious. And he was. They surrounded me like bees. Now, you have to have been around bees a lot. I have various friends who have, Jody Brown and his wife used to have a little bee thing. I don't think they call them farms. But they have their boxes and they go out and gather the honey out. Bees swarming everywhere. Sometimes they wear these hats and stuff. So the bees don't sit on them. Bees swarm. You're the enemy. All over you. See? They surrounded me. Like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. Now, how do you get rid of me? Just light a fire, and they're gone. They're gone. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Now, verses 13 through 19, thanksgiving for God's deliverance. Do you thank God? Do you thank God? Do you thank God when you woke up this morning? That you don't have coronavirus. You thank God that you're alive. You thank God your family's alive. Your children are okay. Parents are okay. Did you thank him? Or did you complain? This section is about thanksgiving. Verse 13, you, Satan, the archenemy, pushed me violently so that I was falling. Picture the cross. But the Lord, God the Father, helped me by sending the Holy Spirit. Satan pushes, but the Lord keeps us safety. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. How beautiful is that, dear people? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my deliverance, my deliverer. I pray that's your verse. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. Deliverance. It's a beautiful verse in the Bible. Man is not your strength. Man is not your song. God and His love are your strength and your song. Should be. When you think you have nothing to sing about, sing to Him. Sing of Him. His love that saved you for all eternity. Verse 15, the sound of joyful shouting and deliverance is in the tents of the righteous. That's in our homes, in our hearts. That's where we shout. I like this psalm, if we were studying it theologically, the relationship of love and righteousness. So many people today put all their confidence in the love of God. Don't forget His righteousness. His love will never circumvent His righteousness. See? So, this combines them both. Now, the sound of joyful shouting and deliverance is in the tents of the righteous. All those who believe in Jesus Christ, the righteous, by experience, is walking in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness imputed at salvation is permanent righteousness. Righteousness given to us experientially by faith in the Holy Spirit. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Right hand of God the Father is Jesus Christ. What is beautiful, rich word is this word. The Hebrew word conveys the ideal of strength and influence. He does strong and influential things in the angelic conflict. That's right, for you. He does things that have great influence in the angelic conflict. People, please remember, angels are watching and listening to you during this epidemic. They want to find out, what are God's people going to do during this epidemic? Are they going to run and hide? Or are they going to proclaim Christ? Are they going to live in fear or live in peace? Angels are watching. See? Angels are very important in the book of Revelation, end times. But they're learning right now, watching and listening to us. What do they hear from you? Verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. Remember, we're in the paragraph that thanksgiving God for in tribulation. The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die, but live. Now, if we take this for Christ, crucifixion, resurrection, eternal life. And tell the works of the Lord. We're referring to Jesus Christ, reflecting the glory of God the Father. Verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely for Christ the cross. You might be disciplined in your life. But discipline is for advancement. Discipline is not designed to keep you down. Now, people will keep you down. Not the Lord. He'll raise you up. Continue verse 18. But He has given me over to death. He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, entrance into heaven, and seated at the right hand of God the Father. This phrase takes in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. God has a plan for His Son. God has a plan for you. And if you're a believer in Christ, we're seeing this in our study in Ephesians. You are in Christ. The moment you believe, you're not picked out to be in Christ, but once you believe, you're in Christ. And you share the destiny of Christ. Now, verses 20 through 26. Thanksgiving for the rejected and the divinely accepted stone. This is the gate of the Lord. the righteous will enter through it. All who believe in him will enter into the eternal state. Another beautiful verse is in Revelation 21:17, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall come into it, but only those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you believe in Jesus Christ, it is. Amen. Verse 21, I shall give thanks to thee. Why? For thou hast answered me. When you pray, do you give thanks for the answered prayer? And has become my deliverance. God, not government, and certainly not yourself. Give thanks to him, for he is the deliverer. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone. Now, I'm just going to make this very quick. Stones were made kind of square. And they would go through the slaves assembly line. And they'd come up, and they got this funny shaped stone. It's not shaped like the other stones. So what the builders did, they put it over here on the side with the grass, threw it over there. We don't need it. It's rejected. In other words, whoever chiseled this one was under the influence of. So let's just move on. See? That's what it means. Rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It was shaped as a cornerstone. What's a cornerstone? The foundation of a building. It's a foundation of the church. Foundation of Israel. Foundation of the plan of God. This one is quoted in 1 Peter 2:7. The precious value, then, is for you who believe. For those who disbelieve, the stone Jesus Christ, which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. What's the word? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To this doom they were also appointed. Go back to Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. See? That's what Jesus Christ is. Chief cornerstone. Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It is marvelous in our eyes. Another word for giving thanks. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Isn't that a great verse? It's one of the most popular verses of the Bible. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us give rejoice and be glad in it. Coronavirus. He made a day. Did you rejoice? Did you give thanks? People, please make this your habit. I get up every morning. Go ahead and sit at my desk. Spend time in prayer. I give thanks for this day that he has given me. At my age, you learn to give thanks for every day. But even that aside, he made the day. Give thanks for him. He's got a plan for you. If you're breathing, he's got a plan for you. See? Rejoice and be glad. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, verse 25. I hate the translation of the last word. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee. Do send prosperity. This is a great prayer, if correctly understand it, the last word. Actually, it's two prayers. See that word beseech? We beseech thee, O Lord. It's used twice. There are two prayers. Beseech thee. Used twice. The prodigal of a Trinity is stronger than just saying, I pray to thee. The primary use of this word is to intensify the urgency, the request, the gravity of giving thanks. See? When you see this, this is becoming beckoning you, and you'll love it. I don't know if you've ever been in such a situation where you fervently prayed. I call these knee prayers. I've had several in my life. It just took me to my knees and prayed. It's a fervent prayer. See, O Lord, do save, do deliver, we beseech Thee. We beseech Thee, O Lord, do send prosperity. Okay, now, first of all, the hifil, to save or deliver, be caused to save and deliver because of who and what you are, not because of me. I don't deserve it. But because of who and what you are, deliver me. That's your attitude? Because of who you are, deliver me. If this is part of the hymn of Jesus Christ in the upper room, this will be the prayer of the disciples after Jesus Christ told them the horrible things. It's our prayer in the world today. O Lord, we beseech Thee, in this hour of need, do send prosperity. Now, first of all, there's no verb to send. This is an intensive prayer. O Lord, we beseech Thee now prosperity. The Hebrew word is saleah, S-A-L-E-A-H. This is an urgent cry for the Holy Spirit. The word means to rush. The word prosperity means to rush, to break forth, to come mightily. Now, it does have, if you looked in the lexicons, Hebrew lexicon, a secondary meaning to prosper, but that is to succeed victoriously. That's the process, to succeed victoriously. Let me see if I can help you here. You'll have to open your Bibles to Judges 14 to see the importance of this verb. Judges 14, verse 6. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, God the Father, came upon him, Samson, mightily. This is our word translated prosperity. See it? It's translated prosperity, and ours, here is translated mightily. See? It's true prosperity is the Holy Spirit. So he tore him, the lion, as one tears a kid, a goat, as it were, as he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Now look at Judges 15. Verse 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax, and that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. When you call upon study of the Lord, the name of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, people, he comes mightily. Great things happen. Spiritual love starts flowing out with you. Instead of anger, jealousy, revenge, hate, disappointment, discouragement, self-pity, mightily. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, people. That's spiritual love. See? This is beautiful. Look at 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily, that's our word, upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The word mightily deals with the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful word, people. That's why you want to live by faith in the Spirit. Mightily, wonderful things happen. No depression, no fear, no worry, no crying, no complaining. Peace and joy and help to other people. You're kind. Now let's go back to Psalm 118, verse 25. O Lord, do deliver, we beseech Thee. O Lord, we beseech Thee now mightily. See, that's calling for the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word means to cause to be victorious. If you know that great prosperity is from the filling of the Spirit, then prosperity is fine. If you know that. and give thanks for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. If nothing else to give thanks for today, give thanks that God dwells inside of you and you can appropriate His power simply by faith. Now verse 26. Also quoted in several passages in the New Testament. Blessed is the name of the one. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This most definitely refers to Jesus Christ the Messiah. Application to us. As you can see, Psalm 118 is a powerful psalm. It contains the middle verse of the Bible. It has some of the most familiar verses of the Bible. This is the day in which the Lord is made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 21 verse 9, at the triumphal entry on a donkey, they hailed him with these words. You can also look at Mark 11:9, Luke 13:35, see the Gospel of John 12:13. All right, let's go back to Psalm 118 verse 26. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Blessed is the one, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 27. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 28. Thou art God. Thou art my God. I will give thanks to thee. People, if you have nothing else to give thanks for, give thanks that God is your God. He's your Savior. There, thou art my God. I extol thee. Question, is he your God? Is he your God during coronavirus? Is he your God if someone in your family or you gets coronavirus? Is he still your God? Is he your God? Do you praise him? In the midst of catastrophe? Verse 29, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God the Father, for He is good. Give thanks to God the Father, God the Son, who gave us the Holy Spirit. See? In regard to thanksgiving, let's go back to verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. See? This is the living stone. This is the bulwark stone. This is the foundation stone of the nation of Israel and the church. It's the foundation of the plan of God. This is what Jesus Christ is and should be to you. I pray you'll be encouraged this time. I talked about it Wednesday night. Let me just refresh you. If you're a parent, you have children, play Bible games. Don't waste your time on TV. Play some Bible games. They're all over the internet. If nothing else, just who can name people of the Bible, most people of the Bible? Who can name the most prophecies of the Bible? Who can name the most miracles of the Bible? These kinds of things. Who can quote the most verses? Whatever games you want to play, play games. Got older children, or just you and your husband, your wife, parents, whatever. Take a sit down and study the Bible. It may be the first time in some people's lives they've actually sat down with their husband, their wife, their parents, their children, and opened the Bible and studied it. Pick a book. Pick a psalm. Pick a book. Matthew presents Jesus Christ as King. See if you can figure out why. Mark presents him as servant. See if you can figure out why. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. John as the Son of God. Just sit down and read the Bible with someone. Read verses, read paragraphs, and then talk about it. Be filled with the Word of God. See, be strengthened at this time. Take advantage. Redeem the time. Don't waste it. Redeem it. Redeem the time. A silly example. Redeem the time you wash your hands. We're washing our hands all day today, nowadays. Every time I come in from outside, go into the bath, and I wash my hands. Okay, you don't need to count to 20, and you don't need to sing happy birthday twice. Pick out two or three people and pray for them. while you're washing your hands. Mention their name. Take their name to heaven. Pray for them. Don't forget yourself. They redeem the time. Redeem this time. It's precious. It's precious. When all this is over, you're going to have to go back to work. When all this is over, we're going to be back to what we call normal routine. Redeem the time. Take advantage of it. You'll never get an advantage like this. God is so blessing to us. What He's given us time to do, please redeem the time. Thank you. See you Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. We give thanks to you, Father. We give thanks to you for your marvelous plan. You saw our need and you sent your Son. You saw our need as believers and you sent your Spirit. What an awesome God. You saw our need and you sent us your Word. That's what your love does. And that's what your love will do as it flows through us. We will see the need in others. And we'll meet that need with spiritual love. Father, I pray your Spirit could take the things we've seen this morning. Use these things to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.